Sigmund Freud, the father of psychiatry, once wrote, "And finally there is the painful riddle of death, for which no remedy at all has yet been found, nor probably ever will be." Well, death may have been a riddle to Sigmund Freud, but death was certainly no riddle to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, more than any other person, understood what death was and what death did. In John chapter 11, death came to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and death claimed Lazarus. Death is an enemy. Death destroys bodies, families, hopes. The Lord Jesus Christ was not afraid of death. He faced death courageously, and he conquered it victoriously, and he shares that victory with us today. I'm going to read John chapter 11, beginning at verse 11. "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." It's rather interesting that whenever our Lord spoke about spiritual matters, the disciples so often misunderstood him. He said one day, "I have a meat to eat that you know not of." And they said, "Well, who brought him any food?" When our Lord talked to Nicodemus about being born again, Nicodemus said, "How can a person go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" When Jesus talked to the woman at the well about the water, she said, "You haven't even got a bucket. You can't even lift up any water from this well." Our Lord was talking about spiritual blessings and spiritual truths, and people were misinterpreting him. Well, using this passage as our basis, I want to try to answer some important questions about death. Primarily, why did Jesus compare death to sleep? But before we can answer that question, we have a previous question, namely, what is death? In order to understand why our Lord compared death to sleep, we must understand what is death. In fact, the doctors and scientists today have a problem knowing what death is. I understand from some books I've been reading recently that physicians talk about three different phases of death. They talk about clinical death, when the heart ceases to beat and the respiration stops. And then they talk about brain death. There is insufficient oxygen to the brain. And then there's cellular death, when different parts in the body begin to die off at different rates. And one of the problems being faced today in modern science is, when does somebody die? There are cases on record of people who were on life support systems, and all of a sudden they came back and whatever happened was reversed, and there they are, back alive again. What is death? The Bible definition of death is found in James chapter 2 and verse 26. James chapter 2 verse 26 reads, "For as the body without the spirit is dead." Now that settles it. Man is body and spirit. He is physical and spiritual. We are in our bodies, and our bodies are a part of our being, but we are not our bodies. People lose fingers or hands or arms or legs, and yet the people are still there. We are not the body, although we live in the body, and the body is a part of our being. But when the spirit leaves the body, then we know that that person is dead. Back in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 18, we have the description of the death of Rachel. "And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died." Now, why did she die? Because her soul, her spirit, departed from her body. When our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." This was a quotation from Psalm 31:5, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit," which was a bedtime prayer for little Jewish children. When our Lord died on the cross, he willed his own death, and he said, Father, I'm going to release my spirit now. The body without the spirit is dead. Now, of course, the spirit has to go somewhere. And when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the spirit goes to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul had the same thing to say when he wrote to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So when the spirit leaves the body, then the body is dead. What happens? Well, the body is placed in the ground, and the body turns to dust. It is the body that sleeps. When Jesus said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, he was not saying that his spirit was sleeping or his soul was sleeping, the inner person. He was simply saying the body has gone to sleep. Now, the disciples misunderstood this. In fact, they said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, that means he's getting better. And if he's getting better, there's no reason for us to go to Bethany. You'll remember in verse 8, his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? I think the disciples were looking for an excuse not to go back to Judea and go to Bethany. So they said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he must be getting better. But Jesus was talking about his death. The body sleeps. In Daniel 12, verse 2, we read, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now, if the spirit leaves the body, the spirit cannot be sleeping in the grave. That's logical. The spirit leaves the body, and if the spirit is saved through faith in Christ, that spirit goes to heaven to be with the Lord. This is why we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that those who have gone to sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. The body went to sleep, the soul went to heaven. Now when the Lord Jesus returns, he will bring with him the spirits, the souls of those who have died. And there will be a resurrection of the body, and body and spirit will be joined together. It will be a glorified body, and we shall be forever with the Lord. Now, don't get the idea that the soul sleeps or the spirit sleeps in the grave, because if the spirit or soul is still in the body is not dead. Now we can turn to our second question, why is death compared to sleep? There are many different pictures of death in the Bible. Some of the pictures of death for the unsaved person are really horrible. Now, you ought to read Job chapter 18. If you want to read what it's like to die as an unsaved person. In verse 5, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tent, his lamp shall be put out with him. When the unsaved die, it's like a light being blown out. It happens suddenly, and then they're in the darkness. It's like an animal or a bird being trapped. In Job 18, verses 8, 9, and 10, he names six different kinds of traps and snares for trapping this person. You see, here's somebody trying to run away from death, and the more they run, the more they get trapped. The picture from verse 11 to verse 14 is that of a criminal being pursued and finally being caught. In verse 16, death is compared to a tree just drying up and then being cut down. In fact, death is called the king of terrors. Now, that's an awful thing for a person to be brought before the king of terrors. Verse 14, his confidence shall be rooted out of his tent, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. What is the king of terrors? Death for the unsaved person. But for the believer, death is compared to sleep. Now, death is compared to the putting off of a tent. in 2 Peter 1:14, Peter said, now, while I'm still in this tabernacle, before I put off my tabernacle, take down my tent and move on to higher ground. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul wrote, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. That word departure is a beautiful word. It means to loosen a ship and set sail. It's a beautiful word. When a Christian dies, it's like just taking down the tent and moving to a heavenly mansion. It's like setting sail and arriving at the heavenly haven. In 2 Peter 1:15, Peter compares death to an exodus. He said, I want you to remember after my decease, and that word decease is the word exodus. It's just an exodus, a deliverance from this life with all of its burdens and problems. But our Lord compares death to sleep. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Throughout the scriptures, you're going to find believers, when they die, this is compared to sleep. When they stoned Stephen, he fell asleep. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul repeatedly talks about those who have gone to sleep in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why sleep? Well, number one, sleep is a universal experience. We all know what it is to sleep. I feel sorry for people who have insomnia and don't have the ability to go to sleep. Sleep is something we aren't afraid of. I don't know about you, but at the end of a very busy day, when I have been hard at work, I delight just to go to bed and go to sleep. No one's afraid of going to sleep. Sleep is harmless. And we know we're going to wake up to a new day, all things being considered. Now, this is what's true of the believer. When a Christian dies, he's not afraid of it. It's a harmless experience. Death is an enemy, but death has been completely robbed of power when it comes to the believer. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? When the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, he took the sting out of death. He went through the tomb and he left a light behind, as the little boy said in Sunday school. We know that when we die, we simply go to sleep in the Lord Jesus. The body sleeps, the soul goes home to be with the Lord. And one day the body shall be awakened, and they that sleep in the dust shall awake, says Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. We shall awaken to a new day. I don't know about you, but when the alarm goes off in the morning, I awaken and I say, well, Father, here's a brand new day. I've never had this day before. It's a new beginning for me. My body has now been rested through sleep, and now I can go into this new day with your blessing. There's a beautiful statement in Psalm 17 and verse 15. I like this statement. I've often used this verse in conducting funeral services. Listen to it. Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I think that David was giving us here a bit of a preview of what Jesus taught, that one day we shall be awakened. The body shall be awakened from sleep. The word cemetery comes from the Greek word that means to sleep, the very word used in verse 11. The Greek word is koimaomai, and you just take koimaomai and turn it into cemetery, a sleeping place. When we place the body in the ground out at the cemetery, the body is sleeping. One day the body shall be awakened. Now you see, Lazarus, as a person, was not dead. His body was dead. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. He was still their friend. He was not out of existence. He had not been obliterated, annihilated. His spirit had gone out to be with the Lord. His body had gone to sleep. He was still their friend. Lazarus himself was still alive in spirit, but his body had gone to sleep and died. Well, death has no terrors for the believer. When the day comes for God to call us home, we want to be ready by trusting him as our Savior and doing his will. John Wesley was once asked, if you knew that you would die at 12 o'clock tomorrow night, how would you spend the intervening time? Why, the answer came, just as I intend to spend it. I would preach tonight at Gloucester and again tomorrow morning. After that, I would ride to Tewksbury, preach in the afternoon, meet the society in the evening. I should then repair to friend Martin's house as he expects me, converse, pray with the family, retire to my room at 10 o'clock, commend myself to my Heavenly Father, lie down to sleep, and wake up in glory. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it's God's. It's a wonderful thing to know Jesus as your Savior, for then death has no terror for you.